Good morning. It's great to see you. We are live from the chapel. I'm just outside of Midsummer Norton in the West Country. If you are a guest watching today, you are really welcome. We'd love to connect with you a little bit more, tell you something about the church, but way more importantly, about Jesus and the purpose that he has for your life and the love that he has for you. We'd love you to get in touch to chat and catch up and have that conversation with you. I was reading earlier this morning from Mark 7, where a bunch of friends bring one of their group to Jesus to heal him from this life-changing condition. And Jesus does it, and it says this. It says, people were overwhelmed with amazement. And then this phrase that just grabbed me, and I love it, and it reminds me of a song that some of us used to sing years ago, His Banner Over Me Is Love. This phrase, it says this. They're talking about Jesus, and they said, he has done everything well. This is the God that we're meeting with today, whether you're sat at home, where there's a bunch of us down here at the chapel, or whether you're sat on the bus. This is the God that we're meeting with, the God that does everything well. With the teaching part of our time today, we're going to be on the last in a short series called So Many Voices, where we're thinking about how to listen well to this Jesus in a world full of words. We're looking forward to having Linda Munro, one of the team here, who's going to be sharing with us. So look forward to that and be ready to hear from God. You know, it's great when we get people feeding back what God has been doing in their lives as a result of the teaching in the church. And here's one bit of feedback from a lady just in the last week or two in our church who, whilst listening to this series, she was reminded of a prayer that she'd written down 6 years ago, a prayer that now she's seeing God answer in her life. It was this. This is what she said. She said, so, whose voice am I listening to? The Comforter, the Restorer, the King of all kings? All other voices have been crushed. It's just chatter. Don't listen to the one who drags you down. Look up, reach up, hold fast, hold tight, be on guard. What a great prayer. And that's where we're headed today. Whose voice are we dwelling on? Is it the one who does all things well? I want to mention that in the next week, we're going to be gathering together in person, socially distanced in four different communities. If you've not been along to one of those yet, you would be really welcome. We'd love to see you. You can find the Eventbrite page through our church website. Before we worship, we're going to do a quick catch-up with Tom, Caroline and Rachel, who, along with Shanna Williamson, they've been leading an Alpha course in the church here. And we want to give you just a little bit of feedback from that course, and then we're going to pray for that before we jump into our worship. So I'm going to invite these guys to come up, and we're going to stand, hopefully socially distanced. And yeah, let's get these guys up. So here's Tom, Caroline, and Rachel. And we're going to invite Shanna back at the end of the course to tell us how it's all gone. She's working today, but we're looking forward to that. Okay, Caroline, first of all, I know that you really love Alpha, and there's a whole lot of reasons why.
Yeah.
Can you give us just one, something that's happened on this course so far that you think, that's why I love it?
For me, it's seeing God at work. I had a couple of friends do Alpha over the last 12 months, but this time I've got a friend doing it, and on Holy Spirit Day, she said the hair stood up on the back of her neck. And she just spent the whole evening saying, this is Jesus, this is Jesus. Mm. It's such a privilege and a blessing to see God at work week in, week out. I love it.
Oh, it's brilliant. I love your enthusiasm, and I'm with you. It's so good,
yeah,
isn't it? It really,
yeah,
is good. All right, Tom, there's probably people watching thinking, oh, I haven't done an Alpha course. I've heard about it, maybe seen an advertisement. Maybe they've heard somebody in this church talking about it. If they were thinking to themselves, should I do it? What would you say to them?
Absolutely, just go for it. Yeah, it's whether you've come to know God yet or not, we would just say come and just join in. It's an hour and a half with no distraction, basically putting God right in the middle of everything in a safe place. And you don't get any better than that, do you?
All right. You're pretty clear about that. That's good. Yeah. Okay, Rachel, you've done Alpha a whole bunch of times, and I know it's kind of part of your passion, just seeing people's lives changed by the gospel. Tell us, what can we as a church and others looking in, what can we be praying for the remainder of the course?
Okay, well, it has been a particularly special hour for this time, and I have really enjoyed making relationships. So we've only got 3 weeks left. We really want to pray that the people that are attending would get all that God has for them in the time that we've got left, but also all that God has for them for their future, and pray that we will continue with those relationships, and that God will show us what next and how we encourage them in their faith.
Brilliant. Guys, thank you so much.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be sharing with you this morning. This week, we are finishing our short series on the various voices that surround us. Chris White began by looking at listening to the voice of God and acting on what we hear. Last week, Matt H. looked at the different culture that we live in and asking the question, are we living as consumers or co-heirs in Christ? Today, I'm going to be focusing on where do we dwell? So here's a fact. There is more bad news than good news on social media. Now, that might not come as much of a surprise, but it can affect our thinking because we're surrounded by it 24/7. Chris mentioned when he spoke that we're in a culture of information overload. Through the media, what is often fed to us is not the complete truth. It is often the perceived truth of what others would like us to believe or what they think. We are fed information which can distort reality. And a large majority of what is stated is negative or even fake. We can all tap into this and lament the growing issues and destructive society that we live in. But it's not the full story. There is good news. We need to come back to Jesus, the source of all truth, and we need to readdress the balance, to share his joy, his beauty, and his goodness, to restore hope to the world. What you do and what you say on social media matters. Now, I have noticed, as you may have, that when some people step into the driving seat of a car, they can become a different person. The kind, loving, fun person becomes impatient, easily angered, and not afraid to vent their frustrations with other drivers from the safety of their own car. And the same is true on social media. People can hide behind their screen and vent their views. Yet as Christians, we're called to reflect Christ in all situations at all times, and this includes social media. So let me ask you a question. If someone were to scan through your social media account, if you have one, what would they see? What would they think mattered to you most? What would they find out about you? We see photos that conjure up the perfect family, smiling, laughing, interacting, yet the story around the photo may never be shared. The argument that took place just before it, the bribery to get the family photo, the recognition that this is the one and only time they'd been together for months. We share our best, or what we want others to perceive, and the growing realization is that others look on at the perfect photo, which can accentuate their feelings of loss, pain, failure, or disappointment, as their lives do not match up. Yet in response to the perfect families, perfect homes and perfect lives, we can also feel the need to share the snapshot of our perfect as well. It takes real courage to be real. A friend of mine who co-leads a church in Essex wrote a very honest post on her struggles during lockdown, and it received a huge response as it gives others the permission to be real and express their struggles too. And I really admired her humility and her honesty. As Christians, we are called to be ambassadors for truth, and being trustworthy is more valuable than being attractive. Media is not where we should measure ourselves or find life. In Luke's gospel, there's a verse which says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Just like your media account will give an indication of what is important to you, so does your life. Where do you spend your time? What do you think on? What are your hopes? What are your dreams? Where do you dwell? Scripture talks quite a bit about dwelling. God's huge, unending desire from the beginning was to dwell with his people. It is the basis of the whole gospel story. Jesus came to dwell with us on earth, to restore our relationship with the Father, so we can dwell with him forever. God dwelling with us, and us to dwell and find our home in him. In Scripture, the Hebrew word for dwell is yashab, which is translated to dwell, to sit down, to remain. Psalm 91 says this, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." There's so much packed into these two verses, including four names used for God. So let me read it again. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. So what is significant about this? Well, the four names have slightly different emphasis on who God is. The Most High comes from the Hebrew word Elyon, which signifies God's majesty, His sovereignty, one elevated above all things. The Almighty, Shaddai, suggests mighty, powerful, strong, able to supply our every need. Lord, Yahweh, it's more personal. It's the name revealed to Moses at the burning bush, and it reveals a relational God. And my God, Elohim, used in Genesis 1, the God who is first, the creator of all. These verses speak of God being majestic, all-powerful, relational, personal, and creator. And if we choose to dwell in Him, He offers us a place of safety and protection. Sounds good. So can I ask you the question, where do you dwell? In a world filled with hurry, noise, expectation, anxiety, where do you go? Are you pulled into it? Do you find pressured to perform, to please others, to succeed, and then to switch off? Do you feel the need to escape through TV, media, alcohol, food? These things in themselves aren't wrong unless we are finding life in them rather than God. Or can you come back to God, as Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We need to be honest with ourselves. Where do we find stability in life? What do we look to? Do we look to ourselves, our own ability, money, maybe others? We have seen, particularly over the past year, with this pandemic, that nothing is stable. There is nothing that we can put our hope in except Christ. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And He wants us not just to dwell with Him, but dwell on Him. So where do your thoughts go? What do you think about when your mind freewheels? Do you find yourself worrying, going over past events, concerned what others think, working out how to do things better? Or do you choose, as Scripture says, to take every thought captive, to make it obedient to Christ? This Scripture reveals that we have a choice to do something about our negative thoughts before they enter our hearts and become part of us. Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so he is. We can choose to give all our hopes and fears to God and ask Him to consume our thinking. But how do we do this? Well, we need to lay down the negative and take up the positive. Philippians says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We have a choice as to what we fill our minds with, what we watch, what we listen to, and what we dwell on. Dr. Caroline Leaf, in her book, Switch On Your Brain, describes neuroplasticity, which by definition means the brain is malleable and adaptive, so we can change the way our brains are working. So God has created us with the ability to retrain our thought patterns from negative to positive. She says, as we consciously redirect our thinking, we can wire our negative or toxic patterns of thinking and replace them with healthy thoughts. New thought networks grow. We can increase our intelligence and bring healing to our brain, our minds, and our physical bodies. Every morning when you wake up, did you know that new baby nerve cells have been born while you were sleeping and are there at your disposal to be used to tearing down toxic thoughts and rebuilding healthy ones? The birth of these new baby nerve cells is called neurogenesis, which brings to mind the verse from Lamentations, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. There's something to be said for starting each day focusing on God. But let's go back to these verses in Psalm 91 again. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God isn't going anywhere. He is constantly there for us as a place of rest and refuge. If we choose to dwell with God, He offers us safety and shelter. And within that place, there is beauty and peace that restores us. As Matt mentioned last week, we live in a consumer society. We live in a culture that is constantly on the move and wants to be entertained. It enjoys the quick fix. It goes against the grain of productivity to sit down and soak in God, to rest. Yet this is what God calls us to do. But we must learn to stay there, not just to give God a sweeping glance as we pass through, or give up if our needs are not met instantly, but to keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, to persevere in our relationship with God. And when we do, it can reap unprecedented rewards. Brother Lawrence was a monk who cultivated a keen sensitivity to the presence of God in everyday life. For more than 60 years, he never lost the sense of the presence of God. He was as conscious of it while performing duties of washing pots and pans as when partaking of the Lord's Supper. What peace he must have lived with. Psalm 91 is thought to have been written by Moses. Moses lived in the desert with God's presence being shown as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Moses only moved the people when God's presence moved. He knew the safest place to be was abiding with God. And there's reference here to living in the shadow of the Almighty. And this alludes to the outstretched wings of the cherubim covering the Ark of the Tabernacle. It's as if the psalmist is calling us into that closeness, an intimate place with God within the Holy of Holies. When Moses was with God, his face shone. He knew that the only thing he needed was God. Even when he was offered the promised land, Moses said, "I'm only going if your presence goes with us." Although the goal of the 40-year trip was to reach the promised land, Moses said, "It is nothing if God is not with us." All through the trials and difficulties within those desert years, Moses' focus was always God. For us to come and rest in his presence, we need to give God time in our day, in our mind, and in our heart. We need to take time out of the busyness to quiet ourselves and listen as we pray and read God's word. When we read the Bible, it's important that we expect to meet God, that we don't just go through the mechanics of reading another chapter, but we come anticipating meeting with Christ. Without that desire, we're sometimes left with empty words, which can diminish us rather than grow us. Psalm 119 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." As you read, ask the Lord to open your eyes and your heart to hear from him. Expect him to speak to you. You might be pleasantly surprised as to what happens. We no longer have the pillar of cloud or fire. We no longer need the tabernacle. We don't have to strive to find God, because the amazing thing is, for those who've accepted Christ as Lord, he has given us his Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts and make his home in us forever. Revelation 21, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." We don't have to search for him. He's here. God isn't out there somewhere. He is with us. He is in us. We need to quieten ourselves to listen, to become aware of his presence. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." The surrounding verses in this psalm speak of destruction, chaos, wars, natural disaster. You could even put in there COVID. And in the midst of it, the writer says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Again, the different names of God are mentioned here. The Lord Almighty, full of strength and power. God of Jacob, the personal, relational God that is with us through it all. He is our refuge, our strength, our anchor, our safe place. When God lives in our midst, he brings hope, joy, peace in all circumstances. We need to still ourselves to know, to remind ourselves that he is God. And when we choose to look to Christ, the world begins to fade away. You may have heard the story of Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley. She had 19 children, which doesn't bear thinking about. Yet every day she set aside 2 hours to be with God, to dwell with him. She would do this by taking her Bible and sit in her favourite chair, and she'd throw a long apron up over her head. And every member of the family, from the youngest to the oldest, knew well to respect this sign. When Susanna was under the apron, she was with God and was not to be disturbed except in an emergency. There's something to be said for finding that place to spend time with God. I know it's something I've benefited from, and wherever I've lived, I've always had what I would call a sacred space, a place I go to spend time with God. And it really helps me focus and lay down the things of the day, to focus directly on God and just be in his presence. But it doesn't end there. Even through preparing this message, I've been challenged again, not just to have that space, but to be that space, to carry within me the openness to constantly be in God's presence, just like Brother Lawrence did. He had one simple lesson to teach. With just a little practice, it's possible to experience God's presence anywhere. Pete Gregg from 24/7 Prayer has said that the aim is not to fill the world with prayer rooms, but for each person to become the prayer room. Sometimes we box our relationship with God. We have our quiet time and then we get on with the day. Yet what Brother Lauren showed was that whether you're cleaning your car, in a business meeting, homeschooling, we can still be in the presence of God. Brother Lauren said there was no secret of or difficult techniques, but just a simple determination to be with him and some straightforward practices. And his tips were this. Number one, chat to God about anything and everything. Keep an awareness of him throughout your day. Second thing was practice doing everything as if you're doing it for God. And the third one, keep going. It won't change overnight, but in time you'll see the difference. And more importantly, others will see the difference in you. There's a well-known hymn, which many of you will know, which says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. These words can sound cliched, but the truth is it works. Nothing will fulfill us except Jesus. Even through hardships and pain, if we keep our eyes and our hearts focused on him, he will keep us going. Andy Croft has said, it's not that our sufferings won't matter to us. It's that our love for Jesus will be more important to us than our comfort. It is enough to know Jesus is with us and he will see us through. Just like Moses glowed when he'd been with God, Paul says, we are a fragrance that brings life. I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference to those I meet and share something of Christ with them. We have the hope and the peace that many people are looking for. So let's dwell with God so we too can shine as Moses did and be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around us. As I draw to a close, I want to pray. But when I was looking at this message today, I felt God speak to me. And I felt him share something, which may be for one or two of you today. And the word he gave me was the word trapped. Now, last year I had a bit of a problem with mice in our attic and I put down humane traps and I actually caught quite a few mice. And I took those mice in their trap to the neighbouring field and I opened the door to release them. The mice were not able to do that for themselves. They were completely stuck until I set them free. And I felt that some of you feel trapped with no way out, maybe in your thinking, maybe in negative thought patterns. But I believe God wants to release you from that today, to take you to a spacious place, to bring you freedom. So I just want to pray into that just now. Father, we recognize that we are nothing without you. Holy Spirit, we recognize that we long for you to be so much in us that we are aware of you at all times. Father, would you help us when we get caught up in the day-to-day life so much that we get caught in those traps of worry. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to do something, even today, in the heart of people. Lord, that you would begin to take those people that feel trapped, that feel isolated, that feel that their thinking is one way. And Lord, that you would turn this, that you would take them to that place of freedom, that place of openness. Lord Jesus, we know that in you all things are possible, that where we say there's no way, you say, I have a way. So Lord, I pray that for people today, that for us, Lord, that we would turn to you, that we would turn our eyes to you, that we would seek you. And as we do that, everything else would fade away and we would recognize that you are all we need. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Linda. When we dwell, we find peace and rest, security and anchor. Jesus does everything well. I don't know about you, I want to dwell with him more. Maybe you've prayed along with Linda, maybe that word has resonated with you. I want to encourage you, don't just kind of rush on to the next thing, but just allow the Holy Spirit some space in the next few minutes, just to let that word settle in your heart and in your mind. If you would like one of us to pray for you, that would be an enormous privilege. And we'd encourage you, first step, just get in touch. If you've got one of our mobile numbers, great. If not, just email us. We'll get straight back to you. It's hello@weltonchurch.org.uk. Just a reminder that next week we're going to be either here online, and we'd love to see you if that's what you're able to do. If you are local and you can make it, we'd love to see you in one of the communities, four different communities around the area. Go onto the website and that will kind of connect you with where you can book. Last thing to say, thank you so much for spending the time with us. We hope to see you at one of the communities or online, and we'd love you to get in touch. So do that if you'd like to. For now, have a great week and God bless.